Hare Krishna.
The most auspicious day today, the birthday of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear friends, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, we are born in demonic families. That's all. If you can please the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and there's nothing more rare in this world. In other words, if the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is pleased with you, then any desire that you may have within the core of your heart can be fulfilled without any doubt. As such, what is the use of elevating yourself by the results of fruitive activities which are automatically achieved in all events by the modes of material nature? What is the use for spiritual emancipation or liberation from material bondage? If you are always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord and always relish the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, then there is no necessity for any one of these. So today, we have plenty of opportunity to hear of Krishna's transcendental pastimes and Krishna's transcendental qualities. I will begin in a minute to speak of some of the many qualities Krishna has, as 64 qualities, but there are some which are particularly pertinent to us as devotees, and so I would like to elaborate on them. Before that, I see another verse here, which I want to quote, that, my dear Krishna, you are so kind that you have removed fear from our hearts and you have given us a chance to place your lordships in our heart again. For persons who are engaged in the transcendental loving service of your lordship, all the opulences which were taken away from us by demons are counted as nothing. Devotees do not care for liberation, not to speak of material opulences. Our only duty is always to be engaged in your service, for you are the enjoyer of everything. So we will today engage ourselves in chanting the glories of that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has invented 5,000 years ago for the benefit of the whole world, so that people can remember his activities and can chant his glories, in this way become purified from this ignorant influence of the mode of passion and tamaguna. Lord Krishna has many transcendental qualities, as described so nicely by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Out of these many qualities, I want to talk about some of them. And I would like, as my mind is always working in a very practical way, to relate this to us as devotees. So there's one quality of Lord Krishna, which I think it is very nice to discuss today, at the day of his advent. And that is a quality of Krishna that he is very grateful. He's a grateful person. Srila Rupa Goswami is saying here, Srila Prabhupada is quoting, in his nectar of devotion. Any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Lord Krishna says, when I was away from Drupadi, she cried with the words, Hey Govinda, this call for me has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is greatly increasing in my heart. This statement of the Lord, Sri Krishna, and gives evidence on how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, by crying, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda, which we just did in our little kirtan that we had am Anfang, in the beginning. The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, is also simply an address to the Lord and his energies. So anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and his energies, we can imagine how much the Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord who always remains obliged to him. Another instance of Krishna's feeling of obligation is stated in connection with his dealings with Jambavan. And the Lord was present as Lord Ramachandra, Jambavan. The great king of the monkeys rendered very faithful service to him. And the Lord again appeared as Lord Krishna. He married Jambavan's daughter and paid him all the respect that is usually given to superiors. Any honest person who is obliged to his friend, if some service has been rendered unto him, is a real friend. Since Krishna is a supreme honest personality, how can he forget an obligation to his servitors? So there's a saying in the English language also, that friends you test in times of trouble. Because normally, if somebody's not really a friend, he will be with you as long as you have your pockets full of money. But when you are poor, or when you're in trouble, then he will leave you. He was just a so-called friend. He was exploiting you. There's a saying in the English language that the fox is kissing the goose down to the tail feathers. That means as long as he sees that this is something I can enjoy, I can exploit, he will kiss all the way down to the tail feathers. But ultimately he will eat. So Lord Krishna is not like this. He, whatever service has been rendered to him, is never forgotten. Even a little chanting, a little dancing, clapping in front of the deity, any kind of service, any kind of seva that is once rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never lost. Sri Narada Muni also was expressing this fact, that intelligence, spiritual intelligence, which comes from seva, Tesham Sattva Yuktanam Bhadratam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buri Yugam Tamzos, who worship me in love, I give intelligence. So that intelligence is never lost, even at the dissolution of the universe, even if the universe falls into bits and pieces, that intelligence is never lost. That benefit of having rendered service to Krishna is never lost, because Krishna is so grateful. He is a grateful, perfectly grateful personality of Godhead. He never forgets any kind of seva that is rendered to him. There is a story that was told to me by one of our devotees that used to be in the German Yatra. Many of you won't remember him. Anyway, so he was telling me that his great-grandfather was worshipping a deity of Krishna that was given to him by through his family. That means since hundreds and hundreds of years, Lord Krishna was worshipped, Radha Krishna was worshipped in his family, was coming from a Vaishnava family. And so his grandfather took over this service to Krishna. So one day, this man, he was a big Marwari, he was a businessman. He had to go for some business trip from one state of India to another. He had to go from Bengal to Uttar Pradesh. And to do so, he had to cross Bihar. And Bihar, those who have been in India a lot, they know Bihar is full of robbers. So there were some gundas that came and they attacked this man. And in fact, they killed his servants one by one. And he was completely by himself. They were beating him and trying to get as much information out of him, where you're having gold, whatever. He didn't have, everything was already taken. So he cried for Krishna for help while he was beaten. As soon as he cried for help, some commotion was, and one warrior came on a horse. It was about 100 years ago. A warrior came, and he immediately jumped from his horse. He took a mighty sword and started giving these dacoits a tremendous beating. So they were running for their lives. One arm was chopped off. It was lying around as evidence. Immediately some vultures came and took it away, as it is the case in India. Everything is used. So this man went home. He was so grateful. He sank on his knees and said, "I thank you so much that you have saved my life. Now I have nothing left. Everything has been stolen. One thing I have left. I give you my family ring." So he gave him this ring from his hand. It has been given to him by his great-grandfather, whatever. He gave his ring to him. The warrior put it on his hand, and he rode away. So then he went home, this man. He was completely beaten up. He threw himself in front of his family altar. And he was praying, "My dear Lord, I'm so grateful that you have saved me." Then he stood up and paid his, looked at the deities and took darshan. And then he saw that Lord Krishna had the ring on his finger that he had given to this man. This is a true story. So in other words, Kauntya Katidraniyi Nami Bhaktya Panashyati, Lord Krishna says, my devotee will never vanquish. Lord Krishna himself came to save this man. This is one story that was told to me, a true story. So you can see how Krishna is grateful. Whatever service has been rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he goes out of his way to reward. There's another example. There was one man in our temple in Mombasa. Okay. 5 minutes. There was a man in Mombasa in our temple, and he was an atheist, but he would come to the temple from time to time and pray for some not really an atheist, pious, so-called pious man, worshipping Krishna for benefit. So he started singing Narayan, Narayan, Krishna, Krishna, all these things. So one day he became very serious. He gave a huge donation to the temple, and every day he would come 5 times. Whenever offering was there, he would sing, he would come, and he would walk around the temple, circumambulate the temple, chanting Krishna's name, chanting Narayan's name. So then, all of a sudden, we heard the message that he died, that he was dying in the hospital. So we rushed to the hospital, and there the doctor showed us the television set where the brain waves are recorded, and was completely flat. The doctor said, "You're too late. This man is brain dead. He's breathing, but there's nothing going on." So, as a matter of etiquette, we stayed for 30 minutes, chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. All of a sudden, the man jumped up. And he opened his eyes wide, he lifted up his hands, and he declared to the whole world, "Now it is Hare Krishna all the way," and he collapsed and was dead. So we can see how Krishna is grateful, how he never forgets any kind of service ever rendered to by his devotee. And the morality of it is, today we have Lord Krishna's Janmashtami, we are glorifying his qualities, but also we can imbibe some of his qualities. There are so many devotees who have come to this movement, and many of them stay in this movement, and many of these devotees also go. So, even if somebody may be separated from the movement, the one thing is sure, Lord Krishna is never forgetting any kind of service rendered. And therefore we should follow his example. We also should never forget that somebody may have been a Sankirtan man at that time. He may be in Maya, he may be covered, he may have so many difficulties, but the Lord never forgets any kind of services rendered, and so we should also never forget. And in due course of time, it may well be that Krishna is attracting him to the movement or to his lotus feet, and we should be prepared to receive him with open arms. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
We are reading from the 21st chapter of the Krishna book, The Gopis Attracted by the Flute. Krishna was very pleased with the atmosphere of the forest, where flowers bloomed, and bees and drones hummed very jubilantly. While the birds, trees, and branches were all looking very happy, Krishna, tending the cows accompanied by Sri Balaram and the cowherd boys, began to vibrate his transcendental flute. After hearing the vibration of the flute of Krishna, the gopis in Vrindavan remembered him and began to talk amongst themselves about how nicely Krishna was playing his flute. When the gopis were describing the sweet vibration of Krishna's flute, they also remembered their pastimes with him, that their minds became disturbed and they were unable to describe completely the beautiful vibrations. While discussing the transcendental vibration, they remembered also how Krishna dressed, decorated with a peacock feather on his head, just like a dancing actor, and with blue flowers pushed over his ear. His garment glowed yellow gold, and he was garlanded with a Vaidyajanti necklace. That's a garland from forest flowers. Dressed in such an attractive way, Krishna filled up the holes of his flute with the nectar emanating from his lips. So they remembered him, entering the forest of Vrindavan, which is always glorified by the footprints of Krishna and his companions. Krishna was very expert in playing the flute, and the gopis were captivated by the sound vibration, which was not only attractive to them, but to all living creatures who heard it. One of the gopis told her friends, "The highest perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram entering the forest and playing their flutes and tending the cows with their friends." Persons who are constantly engaged in the transcendental meditation of seeing Krishna internally and externally, by thinking of him playing the flute and entering the Vrindavan forest, have really attained the perfection of samadhi. Samadhi, trance, means absorption of all the activities of the senses on a particular object. And the gopis indicate that the pastimes of Krishna are the perfection of all meditation and samadhi. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, in the thought of Krishna in the topmost of all yogis. Another gopi expressed her opinion that Krishna and Balaram, while tending the cows, appeared just like actors going to play on a dramatic stage. Krishna was dressed in glowing garments of yellow, Balaram in blue, and they held new twigs and mango trees, peacock feathers and bunches of flowers in their hands. Dressed with garlands of lotus flowers, they were sometimes singing very sweetly among their friends. One gopi told her friend, "How is it Krishna and Balaram are looking so beautiful?" Another gopi said, "My dear friend, we cannot even think of his bamboo flute. What sort of pious activities did it execute so that it is now enjoying the nectar of the lips of Krishna? Krishna sometimes kisses the gopis. Therefore, the transcendental nectar of his lips is available only to them, and his lips are considered their property." Therefore, the gopis asked, "How is it possible that the flute, which is nothing but a bamboo rod, is always engaged in enjoying the nectar from Krishna's lips?" "Because the flute is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord, the mother and the father of the flute must be happy." Yes. "The lakes and the rivers are considered to be the mothers of the trees, because the trees live simply by drinking water. So the waters of the lakes and rivers of Vrindavan were full of happy lotus flowers, because the waters were thinking, 'How is it our son, the bamboo rod, is enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips?' The bamboo trees standing by the banks of the rivers and the lakes were also happy to see their descendant so engaged in the service of the Lord, just as persons who are advanced in knowledge take pleasure to see their descendants engaged in the service of the Lord. The trees were overwhelmed with joy and were incessantly yielding honey which flowed from the beehives hanging on the branches." We hear here about Krishna's transcendental flute. And for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, I would just briefly mention 8 effects of the different tunes which are vibrated by the Lord. Demigods like Lord... I think we have some musicians here who will... but in a way, everyone is a music lover, because... Ekala Ishta Krishna Ara Sava Britya Yara Jai Chanat Tai E Etai Nitya. There's only one controller, Ekala Ishvara, that is, he is Krishna, and everyone dances Yara Jai Chanat Tai Etai Chitara Nitya according to his flute. Everyone follows. So demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva break their meditation and forget everything when the first tune pierces their ears. They can't go on meditating. Lord Shiva stops playing his din-dim drum. Lord Brahma sits astonished on his lotus flower. And Lord Ananda Shesha begins swaying hypnotically. That's the first tune. Then the second tune makes the river Yamuna flow backwards. It just goes back. When Krishna plays the third tune, the moon stops wandering, can't move any longer. Ramakrishna begins to play the fourth tunes. The cows come running towards him, and they take their ears, which are, and they shape them just like cups, so that the nectar doesn't go out of the ears. That's their understanding. Just like when the Abhishek is there, one takes cups to get the water out of the Abhishek. Charanamrita. Right? But so that not to even spill a single drop. Devotees even bring half coconuts and oil clay pots freshly washed, hopefully, to just get it on. So the cows are doing that with their ears. The fifth note brings the gopis madly running, eager for Krishna's loving association. It is described that in that flute play of the Lord, each gopi individually hears her name being called by the flute of the Lord. The sixth tune creates autumn, replete with rich foliage, blossoms, and fruits. When the sixth tune resounded, stone melts. In Kamyavan, there is such a, there's a stone over which Krishna walked when it was in the melted condition. It had heard the sixth note, sixth tune. Sometimes it said note, sometimes tune, and then it just melted. Krishna walked over it, and after Krishna was gone, it returned to its original molecular structure. But the footprint was captured. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Baladev Vidyabhushan both confirmed that this is a footprint of the Lord, and so did in Ramanujacharya. I mean, it's so old. The seventh note, that sounds, all the six seasons come into the forest cavern, and the eighth note of that wonderful flute of the Lord Shyamasunda calls Shri Radharani. These are eight effects of Krishna transcendental flute, following the footsteps of our Prita Prabhu, who very kindly brought into subject matters onto a level of practice for us. I want to also explain the flute of Lord Krishna and the Jiva Goswami did, which is very practical. He said that a person alone, he can produce music. He can visit. That is what he can do alone. But when he takes a flute, then the musical quality or the music in itself is much enhanced by that.
Hare Haraya Namah Hare Haraya. Hari Haraya Namaha. Haraya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavanama. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavanama.
Hari Om.
Yadavaya Madhavaya. Gopala Govindaram Srimadi Jira. Gopala Govindaram Srimadi Jira. Gopala Govindaram Srimadi Jira. Gopala Govindaram Srimadi Jira. Girihari Gopinata Madana Mohan. Giridhari Gopinata Madana Moha. Giridhari Gopinata Madana Moha. Giridhari Gopinata Madana Moha. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita. Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita. Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata. Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita. Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata. Hare Haraya Namaha. Hare Haraya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshava Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshava Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshava Namaha. Radhavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavan. Gopala Govinda Ram Srimadhuvan. Gopala Govinda Ram Srimadhuvan. Gopala Govinda Ram Srimadhuvan. Pala Govinda Ram Srimadhuvan. Govindare Gopinatha Madanamuhan. Giridhare Gopinatha Giridhare Gopinatha Madanamuhan. Giridhare Gopinatha Madanamuhan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Adaita Sita. 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 Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavatarita. Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavatarita. Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavatarita. Hare Guru Vaishnava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Nita Gaur Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Nita Gaur Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radhe. Gopinandarim.
One thing I wanted to mention as a little correction, Sachinanda Maharaj was pointing out that I was involved in pioneering in Germany, pioneering the Irish Yatra, the German Yatra. Actually, this is not quite correct, because there were also other people living in the same temple at that time in the Bartelstrasse in Germany. He himself was there. In fact, he joined earlier than myself. And then Bhakti Bhushana Swami was also there. He joined also a year earlier. And Bhakti Bhai Bhava Swami was there. He also joined a year earlier. And Asarata was there, Asarata Prabhu. So us four, us five, we were there and we are still there after all these years. So these are actually five pioneers who were there at the same temple at the same time. And the rest have gone. Hope they come back. Some are still around. So I want to further elaborate on certain qualities of Lord Krishna and how we can learn from him simply by meditating on his qualities. Another quality of Lord Krishna is forgiving. Srila Prabhupada says here, a person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party is known to be forgiving. Lord Krishna's quality of forgiving is described in the Mahabharata in connection with his forbidding the killing of Shishupal. King Shishupal was a monarch of the Chedi kingdom, and although he happened to be a cousin of Krishna, he was always very envious of him. Whenever they would meet, Shishupal would try to insult Krishna and call him many ill names as much as possible. In the reign of the Raja Suya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, when Shishupal began to call out Krishna ill names, Krishna did not care and simply remained silent. Some of the people at the reign were prepared to kill Shishupal, but Krishna restricted them. He said, don't do this. He was so forgiving. It is said, when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, the mighty lion immediately replies with his thundering roar. But the lion doesn't care when all the foolish jackals in the desert begin to make their less important sounds. So Sri Yamunacharya praises Krishna's power of forgiveness with the following statement. My dear Lord Ramachandra, you are so merciful to have excused the crow's clawing on the nipples of Janaki simply because of his bowing down before you. Once Indra, the king of heaven, assumed the form of a crow and attacked Mother Sita, Janaki, Lord Ramachandra's wife, by striking her on the breast. I mean, a crow, the filthiest bird in the creation, practically speaking. Srila Prabhupada always gives the example of the crows and the swans. So here is this crow, this outrageous, obnoxious, naughty crow. which comes and sits on Mother Sita's breast and starts to pick on her breast, which is so offensive. This was certainly an insult to the universal Mother Sita, and Lord Ramachandra was immediately prepared to kill the crow. But because later on the crow bowed down before the Lord, he excused his offense. Sri Yamunacharya says that in his prayer, that the forgiving power of Lord Krishna is even greater than that of Lord Ramachandra, because Shishupal was always in the habit of insulting Krishna not only in one lifetime, but continually throughout three lifetimes. Still, Krishna was so kind that he gave Shishupal the salvation of merging in his existence. From this we can understand that the goal of the monist to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme Lord is not a difficult problem. Persons even like Shishupal, who are consistently inimical to Krishna, can also get this liberation. Another example, of course, of Krishna's forgiveness is a famous story of Bhrigu Muni. Bhrigu Muni, he insulted Lord Brahma by... Brahma by first Lord Shri... Thinking. By not offering respect. And Lord Brahma became furious. He could control his anger. Then he insulted Lord Shiva by Lord Shiva wanted to embrace him. He said, no, you're sitting in crematoriums. Please don't do this. I want to stay clean. Lord Shiva became furious. So then he came to Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu, he kicked him into the breast. This was the worst of all offenses. Can you imagine? I would get up now and kick into your head or something. You would think, what's the matter with him? I mean, it's outrageous. And you would talk to others about it, probably get up and slap me or something. You would not take it so easily. You would be very much upset, at least, because, like I was explaining in another lecture in Berlin, we are able to tolerate pain. You know, you forget also pain. Just like, for example, you go to a dentist, 5 years later you have all forgotten. But one thing we cannot forget, and that is if we are unjustly treated. This is a fact. That's the most painful thing for a person, if he feels that he has been unjustly treated by somebody. That, even after 15 years, after 20 years, I myself even do remember. So this is something that sticks in the brain of a person, if he's unjustly treated. So he had no reason to go and kick Lord Vishnu into the breast. Lord Vishnu didn't budge an inch. And he said, I'm very sorry that you must have hurt your foot, because my chest is pretty hard. So we can see how Krishna is so forgiving. There's no end to his forgiveness. And therefore, there's hope for us that we also will be forgiven for our offenses that we have been committed, provided we are also ready to forgive others. The fact is, in our Krishna conscious life, and even before, we have committed so many offenses, and we have committed many offenses before coming to the Krishna conscious movement. So we need to be forgiven for our offenses. And Lord Vishnu is very, very merciful. But he will do this only if we are ready also to forgive others. We need to be forgiven, but we cannot be forgiven if we hold grudges to others, if we are not forgiving, showing this quality of forgiveness to others. So this is a very nice example of how Lord Krishna is forgiving. Here's another example. Srila Prabhupada writes, actually you should know that Sri Krishna is the only friend, and he is sitting in everyone's heart. He's such a nice friend, and he's simply trying to induce us to turn our faith toward him. He's coming as avatar, as incarnation. He's giving always advice from within. Think about it. Lord Krishna is coming to the material world, and he's sitting in everyone's heart. He's sitting in the heart of a pig, of a cow, of an ant, of a snake, of a hummingbird, of a vulture, of you name it. And even in my heart, in your heart, he's sitting in everyone's heart. He's accompanying the living entity from one life to another, year after year after year after year, for millions of years, and is always trying to recover us, particularly in the human form of life. He's giving us so many good advice. How to go back in form of conscience. There's good conscience and bad conscience. So he's giving us good advice. He's trying to convince us from within. Not only that, actually he's moving our body. in some way, because the soul itself has no power to move a body. So Lord Krishna is directing the movements of the body via the agencies of the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature cannot function without the super soul in the heart, understanding the desire of the living entity to scratch itself, for example. So he's sitting there in everyone's heart because he's very kind. He's giving us advice. Sarva dhamman parijyatya mamekam saranam vraja. Krishna, he's such a nice friend. Although we have left Krishna, Krishna has not left us. Here, he's living within me, within my heart, to give always advice. And he says, please come back. Sarva dhamman parijyatya, give up everything. Krishna is such a nice friend. He is such a nice friend that even to his enemies, he gives the greatest benediction. Just like Putana. Putana came to kill Krishna, smearing poison on her breast. But Krishna gave her promotion to the motherly platform. Krishna is so grateful that this demon might have come to poison me, but I've sucked her breast. She has become my mother. Therefore, she must get the position of mother. Krishna is so grateful. If you give little service to Krishna sincerely, Krishna will never forget you, and he is so powerful. If Krishna becomes your friend and Krishna remembers you, then what you want more, just imagine. So Krishna, here it is said, Krishna Devataha, always fix your mind in Krishna and be happy. He also said in Bhagavad Gita, one who preaches his message is very dear to me. No one will be more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So, if we engage in Krishna's service, we become very, very dear to Krishna, and then Krishna is able also to remember us in terms of the devotional service that we have performed. So he's very, very kind, and he's very, very forgiving. And so there are many other examples also of personalities who have followed the example of Lord Krishna and have manifested this quality of forgiveness, just like it comes to our mind, Haridas Thakur also, although people were beating him, he was actually praying for those people who were torturing him and saying, I'm very sorry that I don't die. I'm sorry I give you so much trouble. Lord Jesus also, good example, Srila Prabhupada mentioned many times as being merciful. The people were nailing him to the cross. He was saying, Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Prahlad Maharaj also, he was very forgiving to those people, to those rascals, demons that were torturing him. He was always trying to forgive. He prayed even for his father, although his father was torturing him so much. Prabhupada himself, he was always very forgiving. He was very kind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, also the famous example of one person who was always insulting him in